Okay, welcome to the Ask John call-in session for the new you in the new year. So if you like, you can call in and talk to me. When you call in, press 1, and that'll put your hand up, and then we'll screen your call, we'll pass it through. So this is an opportunity for you to really try to synthesize all the information we've been giving you over the last 5 weeks. Now, the last session, if you haven't listened to the last session, I would strongly advise you to listen to it. There's lots of great information there. We were flooded with questions. We weren't able to get to all those questions. And so we're going to start answering those questions now. I'm going to bring Dan in and we're going to start answering those questions. But in the meantime, if you actually want to call in and talk to me, you can. And press call in, press 1, and we'll have a chat. Otherwise, this specific Ask John call-in session will go as long as it needs to go to answer the questions that Dan has, and if we have any callers to call in. So, okay. So we've got lots of people on the line. Hold on 1 second, Dan. We've got lots of people on the line.
Yep.
Nobody has asked any questions yet. Nobody's got their hand up. So, Aaron, do I need to make an announcement about Skype? Are those people that are on the line from Skype? Okay. Okay, great. All right, Sharon's telling me there's about 20 people online, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. All right, so we'll bring Dan in.
Hey, John?
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say, I think we're having a few problems with when you hit 1, it's not necessarily being registered.
Yeah.
So Shan has asked if people could actually put in the chat role that they're trying to put their hand up, and she'll look for them on Skype.
Okay. So we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, so we're going to try to work this out this way. So if you're calling in via Skype, apparently the feature of pressing 1 is not going to work. So what we'd like you to do is put in the chat box, hey, I have a question, my name's whatever, my phone number's whatever. Put that into the chat box, and then we'll know to pass you through, because apparently the pressing the 1 option isn't working. So. So that's what you got to do if you want to call. If you're calling in via Skype and you want to talk to me, put your name in the chat box, and then we'll find you that way. In the meantime, let's bring Dan in, and we'll start answering questions.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Morning.
Morning.
All right, Penelope. Morning. Penelope's asked. I have commented already on how I'm really struggling this week, and after a great start of feeling my depression of 40 years lifting. I can't make myself eat salads and flax. I can't make myself listen to the visualizations. I just don't think they will work. I have just reverted to my unhealthy eating. I'm still having the green juice because I really enjoy that for some reason. I just don't understand why I can't control this. Do you have any ideas that what could be going on?
See, this is a perfect situation, Penelope, for you to call in and talk to me, because there's so many things that can be happening. Basically, there's a very strong resistance to working through the issues. That's usually an emotional issue, but it could be other things too. I can't tell you, and I can't really answer that unless you and I have a conversation. So this is why we have this Ask John session, and this is a perfect opportunity. So if you're on the line and you can call in, let's talk, and we'll try to work that out. In the meantime, what I would urge you, it's great that you're having the green juices. The fact that you don't want to listen to the visualizations because you don't think they're going to work, I would say, so what's the harm? Because even if you don't think they're going to work, I guarantee you they're going to lower your stress level. They do work, quite frankly. But even if you don't think they're going to work, I guarantee you they're going to lower your stress level. They're going to help you work through some emotional issues, and that's going to help you have more conscious eating, less sugar cravings. Less insulin and leptin resistance. It's going to help you burn fat more easily. So this argument that you don't want to listen to the visualizations because you don't think they'll work isn't really a solid argument, because there's zero downside. It's not like I'm saying to you, get stomach stapling, and you're saying to me, I don't want to get stomach stapling because it might not work. Well, there's a lot of downsides to stomach stapling. You're cutting your stomach up, you're having surgery, you're risking death, you're mutilating your body. I'm not asking you to do any of those things. I'm just asking you to press a button and go to sleep. So the fact that you're saying that you don't want to listen because you don't think they're going to work shows me there's a serious resistance to losing weight. That's something we need to talk about. That's something you need to work through. That's something you need to be conscious of. In the meantime, I would say, even if you don't think they're going to work, there's no harm in pressing a button while you go to sleep at night. So I would still urge you to try to press a button as you're going to sleep at night and fall asleep to the visualization, or press a button first thing in the morning and listen to a morning visualization as you're lying there in bed. There's no harm in doing it. It's a couple of minutes, and there's, and I can tell you that there's enormous, enormous upsides. Especially if you listen to the webinar that we did yesterday, we talked about all the different ways that we've used visualization in the last 5 weeks, plus another 5 or 6 ways that we've never talked about. So it's really like 10 different ways you can use visualization for weight loss. So I would urge you to listen to that. I would urge you to just press the button and let the visualizations do what it is that that they need to do. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thanks, John. Yeah. Carla says, I truly appreciate all the advice that you've been giving. I still feel that my addiction to sugar and bread is influencing my success into changing my eating habits. Even though I'm adding live food to meals at the moment, I put a sweet in the mouth to not feel deprived, and then I feel like I'm turning on my fat programs. I also feel that I go down in a spiral of not craving healthy foods, and instead I keep on craving sugar and sabotaging the success of the program. In my case, would it be best to avoid this refined sugar totally? And could I do it by causing deprivation? And if I did do that, would that cause deprivation signs in my body?
Yeah. So
I feel on an emotional...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Ben.
I feel on an emotional level that I could be finding it difficult to say goodbye to my eating habits, since somewhere at a young age I believed that food had a bigger role in my life other than nourishment. So I find it difficult to let go of it.
So the answer is a little bit of a dance. And you don't want to just, if it worked for you to just cut things out cold turkey, if that technique worked, then we wouldn't be having this 5-week program. We just, the advice that your doctor tells you, don't eat sugar, and that's the end of it, and you never have to worry about it, would be sound advice. Unfortunately, that doesn't work most of the time. So you need to do a little bit of a dance. So the dance is that you're trying to get some, if you're craving chocolate, you're trying to get some healthy chocolate. If you know that at 3:30 in the afternoon, your blood sugar plummets, you're exhausted, and that's when you crave sweets, you want to do a little bit of a stress reduction walk visualization and have a healthy snack with protein, live food, and omega-3s at 3 o'clock to be proemptive with your blood sugar. So you're dancing with it a little bit. If you want something after you've had that, you won't want as much of it. So it is a little bit of a give and take. There's times when you can get around it. There's times when you can't. There's times when you need a little. There's times when you need a lot. What I would suggest is that you don't look back. You don't let it go into a negative spiral. If you've had a lot of bread and sugar, just don't worry about it. Keep staying focused on nourishing your body, listening to visualizations, dealing with emotional issues, reducing inflammation, healing your digestion, reducing toxins, all the different things. Stay focused on that. And over time, those cravings will go away. I would also suggest that if you listen to yesterday's core lesson that we had, there was a technique that I used for killing junk food cravings. It may be worth trying that technique. Very, very effective. Try it one at a time. Just try one of the foods that are causing the biggest problem for you and create a negative association with it, as I talked about in the core lesson. And then wait, see if that works, then wait another couple of months before you try another food and see if that works where you're not feeling deprivation, you're not feeling like you're missing anything. And that usually does work very, very effective. So we talked about that in yesterday's core lesson. A visualization, it was in the first quarter of the core lesson, a visualization for killing junk food cravings. Okay, so Dan, I'm going to take Mary from Walnut Creek, California. And we've got some other callers calling in, and I'll bring you back in a little while. Thank you, Dan.
Hi, John. Hi. It's Mary Alice. How are you?
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi. I hope this sound is a little bit like in and out. It doesn't seem really clear to me. But anyway, here's my question for you. I've been on a diet since I was 3 and a half. I'm now 70 years old. I've lost weight many times on mostly calorie-restricted diets, kept it off, and been successful for 2 or 3 years. And when I said that to you on some Q&A, you said, why don't you call in and talk to me about it? So that's what I'm doing, because you know, even if the problem, what if the problem is all the way back to how my mother thought of me as a little baby?
Sure.
What if the problem, you know, then I'm in, what, forgiving my mom or whatever. I find what you're doing is really helpful. I feel much better since having a lot more omega-3s. And I do think my digestion is healing, but I don't know when I've lost 100 or more pounds 5 times over 25 years why I always gain it back.
Okay. So how much weight do you need to lose right now?
Probably 60.
60 pounds. And is your weight stable right now?
Yes.
Is your weight stable?
It's pretty stable. Yes, it is.
Okay. And is it, yes. Is it stable in a sustainable way? In other words, whatever it is that you're doing right now, can you continue to do it indefinitely and not feel like it's too much effort or you're going to falter or you can't keep it up? Is it stable, sustainable?
I'd say it's pretty stable. I do water aerobics. My diet is really good. It's been clean for a long time, but I think that you've upgraded some of my ideas about, you know, my digestion that I didn't know. And, you know, I think that I wasn't eating enough raw food for a while there, not enough salad.
Yeah.
I think that makes a huge difference.
Huge difference. Okay, so going back to 3.5, did you have a weight problem when you were 3.5, or were you just on a diet?
They put me on skim milk at 3.5. And by 8, age 8, they gave me Dexedrine. It was the 50s, so yeah, diet doctors, my mother always had me at a diet doctor, and I grew up on speed, essentially, on Dexedrine.
So okay, but my question is, before your mother did anything, did you have a weight problem? So were you overweight at the age of 3.5 before your mother took you to a doctor or did any of the other things? Was there a weight problem, or was it just your mom's obsession?
Slightly overweight, and that's why the doctor put me on skim milk, although I'm not sure if my mother hounding the doctor did it,
right,
or if the doctor did it,
so,
John.
I
can't remember,
so
being 3.5.
So slightly overweight means that a lot of it was your mom being hypersensitive. Is that fair to say? Or would you...
I would agree.
Okay, so it wouldn't be like any mother would have taken this 3-year-old to the doctor for weight problems. Is that correct? Like, most mothers probably wouldn't have done it. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say.
Okay. Now...
Yes.
Okay.
And once I got in the doctor's hands, then they also gave me thyroid medicine and all kinds of other stuff.
Okay. So did you have any types of illnesses when you were an infant up to 3 years old that would have caused you to take antibiotics, stomach problems, anything like that?
It could be. I had asthma.
You had asthma.
I had asthma, I had asthma from age 2 on.
Okay. So was there any emotional issues that you know growing up? Was there any violence, abuse, loss, negativity?
I think it was probably pretty scary time in our country's history. It was the Second World War.
Yeah.
And my father was away at war, and I think there was a lot of anxiety in my early childhood. And my grandfather was a Chicago policeman, so, you know, it was not like, you know, and we lived with my grandparents when my father was away in the service in the Second War.
Okay, and did you have any brothers and sisters?
One sister who wasn't born till I was 3.5, which was probably the hardest day of my life.
Why was that the hardest day of your life?
Because all the attention had been focused on me until that time, John.
Okay.
And when my sister was born, I lost complete attention.
This feels like the real issue to me. And the reason why it feels like the real issue is because it's the exact same time that you had a weight problem. And in having a weight problem, even though it was negative attention, it brought attention to you. So your mom's taking you to doctors, this doctor, that doctor, and there's almost this feeling like there's a disincentive really to solve the problem, because the problem is serving a purpose. The problem is giving you attention. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that you drawing the parallel.
Yeah, especially it's the same time. So that is an issue that I think caused it. I also think that there's a digestion issue there because you had asthma when you were younger. You probably had probiotics for this or antibiotics for this or that, and then you were put on all kinds of weird diets. So digestion is a big issue, and then this emotional issue of feeling unsupported, not getting attention, being in an unstable environment, having someone else steal the spotlight from you, that created this association that your weight problems were actually kind of serving, they were serving a purpose. They were giving you the attention that you had lost from your sister. Does that make sense?
I see. Okay.
Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying?
Yes, it does. No,
okay. Yeah.
I can see that.
Okay. So I would suggest a couple of things. One, you're obviously making success and getting success by continuing to eat more foods that heal your digestion. Anti-inflammatory foods, live foods, foods that have probiotics, all these different things are going to be really, really useful for you, really useful. And then I would try to do some emotional work about that around that time on several issues. One, just the violent or an unstable and uncertain nature of your childhood, and also the actual day that your sister was born and the way and the association that you made at that time that all of the attention was taken away from you. So that's the type of thing that I would address with a professional like cellular release. Cellular release is actually more effective for this type of issue than tapping, which I think is very effective too, because you're not 3.5 anymore, and it's not coming, it's not an issue that's in your face right now. There might be other things that you can work on with the tapping, but for going back to being a 3-year-old, cellular release is really good because it accesses that 3.5-year-old consciousness. So this is a perfect example of a situation where I would use cellular release therapy to try to work through that primal issue. And then those when we were in week 3, the emotional week, we talked about these 4 statements that you can make. I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. And you're imagining every cell of your body saying that in your visualizations. That would be really good for you. Another really good one is to imagine, when you're doing your visualizations, you imagine, one of the things we prompt you to do is imagine you're in an ocean of white light and it all comes rushing into you. I would suggest that when you're doing the visualization, you imagine that you're in an ocean of love and support and attention from your mom, from your parents, and it's just rushing into you. You open up the pores of your skin, it's everywhere, and it's just rushing into you. That may not speak to you right now. You may not think that you need that right now, but it does speak to a 3.5-year-old that's still on a cellular level affecting your body. Does that make sense?
It does, and I appreciate what you're saying to me. I like the idea of love and support and attention, and with the white light, and I also. Cellular release, I don't know anybody who does that.
We have a team that does that. They're in Denver, and they do it via Skype all over the world. So if you send us an email, we can direct you to those people, and you can have a chat with them directly.
Okay.
There's 5 or 6 of them that we work with, and they're all in Denver. And I've had sessions with them on Skype, and that's very effective. I would also, you're being 70 years old, I would also... suggest that you get onto either, there's a couple of experts in hormone balancing that I think are really effective. One is Dr. Sarah Gottfried, and I think it's something like, you can Google her, Dr. Sarah Gottfried. The other is Marcel Pick. I find them to be really, really not knowledgeable on natural female hormone balancing. And being 70 years old, and
okay.
I assume going through menopause, really, really useful. There might be some useful information they can give you in terms of supplements and nutrients. They've got a lot of free information on their sites. So I would direct you there too. The general feeling that I get is that you're in a really good place right now because your weight's stable, because it's sustainable, and because there's issues that you have never addressed before that you're just going to address right now, there's a really good chance that you can make a shift and watch some of that weight just start to fall off pretty easily without you paying too much attention to it.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
That is such a sweet thought.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay, let's talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so we've got next is Monica from Arizona.
Hi, John.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
Okay, so I feel like I'm repeating. I'm good. How about yourself?
Yeah, good. Good.
So I was really looking forward to this class because I want to lose weight really bad, forever. And the weight loss and weight gain, like very large amounts of weight loss and very large amounts of weight gain have been pretty much a pattern for maybe 15, 20 years of my life. Okay. And I am not, I feel like I'm kind of doing a big fail, but I'm an internal optimist, so I keep thinking every time I watch a core class, and I haven't finished all the guest classes yet, that everything is going to be great, and I know what I'm doing, and I printed off the action steps, and then I haven't completed the action steps even from week one, and okay. We're now at week five.
Let me stop you for 1 second, Monica, and just point something out to you. I'd like you to get rid of this whole concept of success and failure. I know it sounds really strange, but I'd like you to let go of that because that concept is actually getting in your way. The concept of success and failure is prompting failure. Okay, it's not serving you. And so the way to get away from this concept of success and failure is to forget about everything except the fact that you are doing things from time to time that are healing you and creating health on a mental, emotional, energetic, and physical level. Just stay focused on that right now. I know you want to lose weight. I know you want to lose weight really bad. I know you don't want to fail. All of those thoughts are not serving you. They are all getting in your way. And so the reason I'm telling you to let them go is not because I don't want you to lose weight and not because I don't want you to succeed. It's because you will be tremendously more likely to succeed and to lose weight if you let them go. That's the reason I'm telling you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. So what I would like you
yes,
to do...
Yes, I just... In your book, there was a part about how if you could lift your little finger one time every day, you'd lose weight.
Yeah, And then what's stopping you from lifting your little finger is all of the stuff that you're putting on top of this about how badly you want to lose weight, about how you want to succeed and you don't want to fail, this voice in your head that says you're not going to lose weight or whatever it is, you're sabotaging yourself or you can't succeed. That's what's stopping you from lifting your little finger. You've got, it's almost like a writer that's got writer's block because they're worried that nobody's going to like their book. Do you understand? So rather than like, if you're as a writer, just to give you an example, as a writer, if you're writing just because you have passion and joy and you need to express yourself and you don't care what anyone thinks, you become a very prolific writer. And you just produce and produce and produce. The minute you start to think, oh, are people going to like this? They're not going to like it. Is it going to sell? Am I going to be a successful author? Are people going to love me? The minute you do that, you then get writer's block and you can't write another sentence or another paragraph or another chapter or you can't get it in on time or all those different things. And that's because of everything else that you're putting on top of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So for you, what's stopping you from lifting your little finger is all of these things that you're putting on top of the weight. How you really, really want to lose weight, how you don't want to fail, all that stuff. And for that reason, I'm saying that there are things in this course. You don't have to do all of them. You don't have to do them all the time. And you can only do week one if you want, and then week two in another 3 months or another 6 months. It doesn't matter. There are things in this course that will heal your body on a hormonal level. It will heal your mind. It will heal your emotions. It will get your energy flowing. It will change your life. And you don't have to do them all the time, and you don't have to worry about keeping up with the rest of the pack, and you don't have to worry about any of those things. There are suggestions in this class that have the power to do that, and I would say stay focused on that for its own sake. Because the healthier you are, the more energy you have, the calmer you are, the clearer you are, the more successful you're going to be in every endeavor, whether it's weight loss or business or relationships or any of those other things. So leave it alone for a while. Leave this success, failure, weight loss, all this type that we're conditioned to have when we go on a diet, because that's really all a diet has to offer. A diet usually isn't about health. It's just about restriction and weight loss. And if it doesn't offer that, it offers nothing. So forget about that and look at all the other things that this is offering you. And by doing that, the weight loss is tremendously much more likely to come. And you're much more likely to lift your little finger and do the little things that you need to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, we can keep going now. I just wanted to make that one point. We can keep talking about your situation. Do you want me to ask you some questions so I can get a better feel for where you're at and then give you some specific
sure.
advice?
Yeah.
Okay, so how old are you now?
47.
Have you been any signs of menopause?
No, I don't think so.
How much weight are you looking to lose?
Well, if I were to lose all of the poundage that, you know, my photograph that I use for my visualization, it would be about 140.
Okay.
That's good. If I lost 60, I would be able to fit into normal size
okay.
clothes.
Okay, I understand. So I got it. Okay. So have you been checked for sleep apnea?
What was that?
Have you been checked for sleep apnea?
Yes.
And?
I have mild sleep apnea.
Okay.
When I sleep on my back.
Okay.
But if I sleep on my side, apparently it's not bad.
Okay. Can you get it treated? Can you get a CPAP machine? You won't need it forever. You're just going to need it for a little while, but it's going to make your weight loss much easier.
Yes, I can.
Okay. So that is when it comes to lifting your little finger, that's the biggest bang for the buck. You get the most mileage lifting that finger out of everything that you do because that sleep apnea causes cortisol and causes your body to hold on to weight. So that one action could be like 90% of our conversation right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, if I were to do a weighted average of all the things we're going to talk about right now, that could be 90%, and that's how important it is. Okay. All right. Now you said that you've had a weight problem for about 15 years. Is that right?
20. Yes.
20. And before that, was there a weight issue?
I had a perception of a weight issue, but I did some crazy starvation diets. I'm kind of large, and my mom is very thin and small. So my mom is about 5 foot tall, and she's been a size 5 her whole life, and she wore her wedding dress on her 25th anniversary, and I outgrew my mom when I was in the 5th grade, like as far as her shoe size. And I think just because I was tall early, and because I truly do have a really large frame,
yeah.
I had a perception that I was heavy.
Yeah. Okay. But you weren't heavy.
And I was extremely athletic. I had a ton of muscle when I was younger.
That's interesting. So
and I was heavy.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. You were big.
Because like on the BMI, I was very heavy, but my waist was extremely small.
Right. So you weren't
like,
really.
I always, back in the had to have my jeans taken in the waist because they fell out.
Okay. I got the picture. So what happened 20 years ago?
I got married, mm-hmm. and I also, 3 months after I got married, I had a really bad car accident.
Okay. And what happened?
I was stopped at a red light in the car accident.
From an injury perspective, what happened? What was the injuries that resulted from that?
I got a concussion. I know I got a concussion only because I had concussions previously.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to the hospital because I was, you know, like 27 years old, and I thought I was an invincible.
Yeah.
And later that night, I lost all feeling down my arms. And eventually, I found out I had torn ligaments in my right shoulder. And I had a horrible neck injury. I couldn't sleep for more than 2 or 3 hours for years.
Okay.
And
Were you before this car accident? You had gotten married. Were you starting to gain weight before the car accident?
I think I was.
Okay. And how was the marriage? Are you still married?
Yes.
Okay. And has the marriage been a one where you're connected? Where there's, how would you describe it? Are there boundary issues, tension? Is it good? Like, what was happening when you first got married in terms of the adjustment that you were making?
My husband, who I'd known for many years, definitely had a radical change in control the second we got married. Like, literally, we came home from the honeymoon, and he started questioning everything I ate.
Yeah.
His parents were both overweight.
Yeah.
And my family was very outdoorsy and very active, and he had horrible fear that I would turn into his mom, who eventually died of multiple sclerosis.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, we have different ideas in our head about what it means to be a girlfriend, boyfriend, what it means to be dating someone, what it means to be engaged to someone, what it means to be married to someone, and there are different scripts that we run in our head. And apparently that script, you know, of you being married was activated, or of you being his wife was activated when you were married, and it's a different type of script, and that's the script you get from your parents, and maybe his parents were very controlling that way, and then obviously that had a reaction for you. And so where are you now in terms of your marriage with him and his controlling aspect?
I would say that there were definitely issues, I guess, about control. Like, when we had children, I had this kind of irrational need to decide everything about the kids, from immunizations to getting organic food.
Yeah.
And it seems like, looking back, I kind of cut him out of the process. And I would say our marriage has kind of been hit bottom and come back up.
So where is it in terms of his controlling you, in terms of his controlling your eating and your weight and where is it on that side? How do you feel?
He has completely let go of that. And
to me, let me just say one thing. To me,
he is picking on my son now. Like, he freaks out about what the kids eat now because they look just like him.
That's a problem. But to me, it's almost like, in an unconscious way, it's almost like you forced his hand. You forced his issue. In other words, he's really worried about you gaining weight, and then you go and gain so much weight that he's got to give up, basically. And then you can relax. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like unconsciously, there was a definite incentive for you to gain weight to stop him. It was really the only way you could ever stop him from bothering you and trying to control you, is to get him to the point where he was so he felt so out of control and inept in his ability to control you that he finally gave up. That's really the only way that you could stop his control, unless you communicated with him and talked about it. But other than that, if it's all unconscious, that was a strategy. Does that make sense?
Yes, and we did talk about it a lot. Like, okay. And our friends would make jokes, like, you seriously have to question everything she eats when we would go out together?
Right. But it got to the point where he finally gave up. And he probably wouldn't have finally gave up if it was working. Do you know what I mean? So there was he would not, let me just repeat that so I make sure you understand that. He probably would not have given up if the controlling that he was doing was working. Do you understand? In other words,
if I was still beautiful and...
Yeah, and you were beautiful because every time he told you not to eat a cheeseburger, you didn't eat a cheeseburger, he would still be doing it. Because it would be working. Do you understand?
Yes.
So the reason why he's not doing it now is because it didn't work. Do you understand?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Right? Right. And the only way to get it to not to get him to give
but for
up
for him, it's, you know,
forget about him
because he, you know, realized this other stuff.
Well, he also realized that he couldn't do. He gave up. I mean, it wasn't working. You weren't listening. It wasn't working. And he had to give up. And the only way to get him to give up is for you to gain enough weight and to have it and to basically show him how badly it wasn't working, to go out of your way to show him that how badly it wasn't working to get him to that point. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So there was a definite sense. So my question for you now is, and I want you to think about this before you answer it. I even want you to visualize it. Visualize the situation. How would you feel in the marriage that you're in right now if it was working? Maybe not his pestering you, because he's not doing that anymore apparently, but how would you feel in this situation now if you were to let go of all that weight? You are in your most perfect ideal shape, you're still in the marriage. How would it feel with him? How do you think he would react? How would you feel about it? I want you to visualize that and be really clear with yourself before you answer that. So just imagine yourself in that situation. You're in your most perfect ideal shape. You're going out to dinner. You're with friends. Like, what's happening in your head, in this vision? How do you see that happening?
I think I would feel very relieved, like almost a relaxation between the two of us.
Okay. Okay, so I want you to have this image. I want you to keep this image with you when you do your visualizations. I want you to imagine yourself, because this was an issue. The car accident was an issue, but to me this is a bigger issue. And are you? And I want to ask you another question. Are you willing to kind of forgive him for the way he was acting when you were first married? And you know, and the controlling nature. Are you, because in a sense, your weight loss is a form of forgiveness, in a sense, because you have to because you're giving him something, and so in order to give him
something,
go ahead.
I definitely am willing to forgive him.
Okay.
I saw the life that he went through and why he was so upset about weight issues and.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys are in a good place then, in that case. How old are your kids?
Yeah, I talk to him a lot, you know, if he gets upset with the kids about what they eat, and then I just, you know, try to be like, come in the other room and try to figure out why you would say that to your kid.
Yeah. Okay, now what about, I just want to ask you one question. When did you said you were very athletic as a kid. When did you stop exercising?
After I had my car accident.
Okay. Let me tell you what my experience, and this happened with me, by the way. I was very, very athletic as a kid. I spent hours in the gym, not for weight loss, but I was a ski racer, I was a triathlete. I did all these things, I was in great shape. When I stopped exercising, it didn't bother me for a while, but then it started, once the stresses and other things came in, it started to kick in. And what I've learned is that people that are very, very active when they're young and people that carry a lot of muscle when they're young are much more likely to gain weight when they're older if they're not continuing to exercise the muscle, because the muscle is more likely to atrophy subtly, and there's more atrophy tissue, and all atrophy tissue is always insulin resistant, which then elevates your insulin level. So I've seen a lot of people that are very muscular that were sprinters or athletes or weightlifters or football players, and they usually are gain fat, and that's because of the muscle that they were carrying, and that muscle atrophying. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Wow, I do. It was definitely, I was extremely active until I was 27, and then I continued to try to be active, and the pain was just unbelievable.
So where are
and
you?
Then I just stopped.
So where are you now in terms of pain and activity and things like that?
I am not very active now.
How about pain?
I still am reasonably strong. What's that?
Are you still in pain?
Only if I really overdo it.
Okay.
Like if I was to do yard work all day, the next day I would be like vomiting and it would be like I had the flu for 24 hours.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I would love for you to do right now. One obviously is get checked for sleep apnea. The other is do a visualization where you and your husband are out to dinner, you're in your most perfect ideal shape. He's happy, you're happy, there's love flowing between the two of you, there's no tension, he's not worried about what you're eating. It's all that stuff's resolved. I'd like you to do a visualization on a daily basis, just for 30 seconds when you're doing your visualizations, have this scene of you guys out to dinner, or maybe you guys all with the family out eating, and it's all calm, it's all relaxed, you're all healthy, vibrant, in your ideal shape, and there's no tension whatsoever. I'd like you to have that vision and carry and continue to have that vision on a daily basis.
Okay.
And then the third thing I would like you to do is the specific types of exercises that we talked about in week four, the get thin or get eaten exercises with resistance training. So some sort of, like, you don't have to, I'm happy for you to exercise 4 to 8 minutes of exercise type of thing. You know, I don't need you to exercise 3 hours a day. But if you did 4 minutes of get thin, get eaten periodic sprinting, where it could be on a bike or a treadmill, some way that it's comfortable, it doesn't bother your neck or your back, but you're doing 10-second sprints every minute or so, you're doing a 10-second sprint and you're doing some visualization, and then you're doing some push-ups, or you need to do some strength training. And the reason you need to do some strength training, as I've said, is because you carry a lot of muscle, and that muscle can't you can't let that muscle atrophy. By doing that, that will reverse the insulin resistance in your muscles. The get thin or get eaten thing will also have a really strong effect to reverse the leptin resistance. Those things will prove to be really effective. So I would suggest those three things for you going forward as a modification that can really be effective at shifting your set point.
Okay. Thank you. I feel very, very hopeful.
Excellent.
And I will do these things.
Excellent. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so let's see. Next is Audrey in Massachusetts. Is that right?
Yes. It's Maureen.
Oh, Maureen. Maureen's next. Okay. Let's talk to Maureen. Maureen, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Maureen.
John?
Yeah, hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. I have a quick question for you about inflammatory foods. I know you've mentioned it a couple times in some of our classes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a list somewhere on the site that lists the foods you find inflammatory? Because I have osteoarthritis of my knees, and I noticed when I first started the program and I reduced my carbs and sugars that my knees felt so much better.
Sure.
Like,
sure. We don't have a list. There's a lady that we do, but I think in the members area, this lady Julie Daniluk is a anti-inflammatory expert, and I think there's some videos of her in the New You and the New Year support area. Check around, but
okay.
Go to her website. She does have a list, I'm pretty sure, of healthy anti-inflammatory foods. Donna Gates would have that too. In general, and this is a real ballpark, just a sweeping statement, in general, real foods are less inflammatory. It's really that simple. There are exceptions. Like, for example, herbs like turmeric is very anti-inflammatory. But in general...
Did you say whole foods?
No, real foods. Real foods. So real foods...
But you said beans were inflammatory.
Well,
no?
I didn't say they weren't, but they do. They are starchy. So I'm talking about, but you wouldn't eat a bean as raw. You would have to sprout it. If you sprouted it, then you could eat it, and that is not inflammatory. Sprouted beans are not inflammatory. So when I say real foods, I want you to imagine what I mean by that. Real foods is if you were on an island 10,000 years ago. So if you were on an island 10,000 years ago, there probably wouldn't be that many beans around, but there would be nuts, seeds, fish, most animal proteins, salads, herbs, things like fruits. Most of those things are, as a general rule of thumb, anti-inflammatory. Now, nuts are more inflammatory than seeds, so there are exceptions. But just as a general rule of thumb, it's the man-made foods, the processed man-made foods that are inflammatory. Our bodies do not know how to digest it. Our bodies sometimes don't even recognize it as food, and that causes an immune response, which is an inflammatory response.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? But do go to Julie Daniluk's site and go to Donna Gates' site, and you'll find lots of suggestions of anti-inflammatory foods.
Great. One other quick question:
Yeah.
The digestive enzymes. I think Donna Gates, when she was talking, she was like, you needed a different ones for different foods or something.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead. Finish what you're going to say.
So I went to your website and I saw there's only one digestive enzyme. So there's that question, but also I was wondering, like, do you need to take them if you're eating, like, I'm not clear on what, I know it's to help you digest, but I'm like, okay, well, if I'm eating yogurt and chia seeds, then I don't need to take a digestive enzyme. But if I'm eating a steak, I do. But she seemed to say that we needed a different digestive enzyme for meat versus vegetables.
So for the first thing I want to say is that digestive enzymes are different than friendly bacteria. So yogurt, and by the way, yogurt made of pasteurized dairy is inflammatory. If it's yogurt made of coconut or nut milk or raw milk, it's not going to be as inflammatory. But yogurt is going to have friendly bacteria. It's not necessarily going to have digestive enzymes. They're two different things. So friendly bacteria are living organisms that live in your intestines that help you break down foods. Digestive enzymes are proteins that act as a catalyst in your stomach, not in your intestine, but your stomach, to digest foods. Donna Gates suggests, I don't recall her saying that you need a different digestive enzyme for meat versus vegetable. I do recall her saying that having acid, hydrochloric acid, is a really important component to the digestive process, and that you should have a digestive enzyme that has hydrochloric acid. That's kind of new information that she's putting out that we're looking into whether or not how necessary that is. But that was her main message, is that it either should have bile or hydrochloric acid. Whereas for a long time, we've been talking about digestive enzymes that were plant-based and that do not have acid. She's suggesting that we should have digestive enzymes that are high, that do have hydrochloric acid or bile. But they're, but therefore digesting the food in the stomach before it goes into the intestine. And it's in the intestines where the bacteria ends up breaking it into smaller parts. But in the stomach, the digestive enzymes break it apart, the acid works on it, and then it gets into small enough pieces to go into your intestines, and that's when the bacteria hit it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. One other question, and I know you've answered this before, and I don't really remember the answer, but I know people have said a couple times that they're having a problem visualizing their perfect body.
Yeah.
You know, I've looked at old pictures of me, thinking, well, I know at least I can get to that weight, even though it's still more than I want to weigh.
Yeah.
But I look at it now and I'm like, I can never get back there.
Yeah.
So I have my reaction is, yeah, right. So let alone like picking a picture from a magazine.
I don't really know what
to do about that.
So leave the reaction out of it. Leave the possibility out of it. Leave the thought out of it. Look at the picture in the magazine or look at your idea and just imagine yourself being like that without any thought or opinion. Don't worry about if it's doable or what's possible. I've come to learn that anything's possible, but rather than try to convince you of that, just leave the whole issue alone. Just look at the picture and then close your eyes and imagine it. That's all. There's no reason to have an opinion. There's no need to have an opinion. Just imagining it, because the point of the visualization is to use symbols to communicate to your body. Because your brain, the part of your brain, the animal brain that's in charge of your set point, doesn't speak English. It's the same brain that we had as a lizard. Just like you can't speak to a lizard, you can't speak to your animal brain, and it's in charge of your set point, but you can use symbols. And that consciousness, that primal animal body consciousness, understand symbols. So don't worry about what's real or not. You're just using that as a tool to communicate and to help you conceive of an ideal body. So you look at the picture and then you just imagine as you're sitting there that all the weight's melted off of you as you're sitting there, and then let your body understand that message is that the safest way for you to be is fit and not overweight.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, so next we have Audrey in Massachusetts. Okay, so Audrey's dropped. Let's take Lynn in Buffalo.
Hi, John.
Hi, Lynn.
This may seem like a silly question, but what I'm wondering is how I'll know if my digestion is healing or has healed. How will I know if I've effectively dealt with any emotional issues that have caused my body to be fat? I have over 100 pounds that I need to lose,
yeah.
And I'm not weighing myself at this point because I don't want to become discouraged.
Yeah.
So is losing weight my only
indicator?
Way of
no.
knowing if
no.
I'm making progress?
No, you know, it's a little bit like when you're driving to the beach, and as you get closer to the beach, the trees get a little smaller, and then the trees go away, and then you start to see seagulls, and you start to smell salt water. Turning off your fat programs and then losing weight is a little bit like that. So there are definite indications that will tell you that your fat programs are turned off. And by the way, it is not a silly question at all. It's a great question. And the way you would understand that, that your fat programs are turned off, is that you will not feel, and from a digestion standpoint, you will not feel bloated after you eat. You will not have pain in your stomach. Your stomach won't be bloated. You will not feel tired after you eat. You will not crave sweets after you eat. At the times of the day that you normally are tired and crave sweets, which typically for most of us is late mornings, late afternoons, and late nights. Those are the times that we typically feel exhausted and low energy and crave sweets. You will find that you will not crave sweets anymore at those times. You will find that when you're eating a meal, you might think you're really hungry, and then you have three bites, and you'll find that you're not that hungry. You don't have to finish the meal. You won't be feeling like you need to stuff yourself. So all of these different things will tell you that you're more sensitive to leptin, which means you're not as hungry, that you are more sensitive to insulin, which means your blood sugar stays stable for long periods of time and you regain the ability to burn fat. And those are all indications. And usually when you have those indications, it can happen immediately or it can take up to 3 to 5 months before the weight starts to drop off you naturally and easily. We had a, I mentioned this in the core lesson yesterday, we had an Ask John call-in session with our support group earlier this week, and the lady called in, and the only reason she called in is just to tell people, for 5 months I've been working at this, there wasn't any progress. All of a sudden, it was just like the dam broke. I'm not hungry. The weight's fallen off of me, and it does work. And you do have to give it time because you're changing your body on a hormonal level, and that does take time. But the indications are that you will have more energy. You will not feel bloating. You will not be tired after a meal. You will not crave sweets after a meal. You will not crave sweets or be tired in the afternoons or in the late nights or around 11 o'clock, late mornings. You're not going to have those lulls. And when you do eat, you're going to find that you're just not eating as much. Something's stopping you from eating as much. You have a couple of bites and you go, oh, I'm just not that hungry. Those are the indications that all of these things, whether it's you're addressing the emotional issues, the digestion issues, blood sugar issues, whatever issues you're addressing, they're being addressed. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Thank you.
Great. Okay. And do you have any other questions? Have you been checked for sleep apnea? Are you there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, John.
Have you been checked for sleep apnea?
I do have sleep apnea, and I'm treated for it, yes.
Okay, great. All right, so did you have any other questions?
I don't. Thanks so
okay.
much.
My pleasure. Take care. Okay, Audrey is back.
You too.
Thanks. So we'll take Audrey from Massachusetts.
Yes.
Hi, Audrey. You're back.
Hi, yes.
Great.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Thanks so much for taking the call. My question is actually a follow-up a little bit to my question from yesterday's webinar. And I did look up integrative doctors in my area,
yeah.
And unfortunately there are none close enough for me to be able to drive to
yeah.
with my mobility issues. And what I'm dealing with is that I'm trying to get my doctor, to write a note to my employer to deal with my mobility issues that are exacerbated because of my weight.
Yeah.
You know, when I fell and ruptured my quadricep, a lot of my healing has been about losing weight, and so I haven't done that. And so now they're looking to see in the next 6 months, am I taking action to lose weight? Which is why my doctor then said, well, you're going to have to go.
Audrey, can you hear me? You just cut out. Aaron, Audrey just dropped. Okay. Audrey, when you come back, we will take your call. In the meantime, you have dropped out. So I will bring Dan back in and ask a few questions until you come back. And just sit tight, and we'll take your call when you come back. We just dropped. Okay. Okay. So so stay with us for a minute because we're having some technical issues. We just dropped out of Blog Talk, which is the website that we use to funnel questions. But I do want to mention right now that in about 48 hours we're going to have a final webinar about moving forward, next steps after the new year, after we've completed the program. So that'll be our final webinar, and we will do that in about 48 hours, and that'll give you an idea of where to go from here. So a lot of things that are really very simple is the action steps, whatever action steps we leave off at the end of this week. Those are the action steps that we're going to be focusing on moving forward. And also, a lot of people are asking if the information is still going to be there after the 5 weeks is over. And yes, the information will still be there over for a very long time. We're going to keep the website operational. We're going to keep the support site operational. So you'll be able to go back and you'll be able to refer this information. We've put together a lot of information, I know that, and it'll take time. So, so Aaron, I think we're back on now, is that right? Okay, so what I want to say is that information, you can keep referring back to it whenever you need to. But we're back on, and we can take Audrey again. So can you put Audrey through, please? Audrey, are you there? Okay. So I think we're having can we bring Dan in while we're dropped? Can she call in through a different way?
No, we lost connection to Blog Talk Radio ourselves.
No, but why do we have to talk to Dan through Blog Talk?
Otherwise, we can't get audio
here. I see. Okay. All right. Well, the hour's almost up anyway, so I guess we're going to have to take Audrey. Audrey, just call help at thegabrielmethod.com, and we'll set up a time for you and I to talk, okay? Because the hour's almost up anyway, and we're having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk. We just got kicked off. So we can't take any more callers, and we can't bring Dan in. So what I want to say is join us in about 48 hours for our wrap-up webinar, and in the meantime, the site's going to be there as long as you need, and we'll answer as many questions as we can over the next couple of days. And that information, which we've all put together between the questions and the answers and all the different core classes and lectures, there's just a ton of information. It'll be there for you as long as you need. And that's it for now, and we will talk to you again in about 48 hours. Once again, Audrey, when you come back on, or when you get this, or we'll send you a message, call, email help@thegabrielmethod.com. We'll set up a time for you and I to talk. That's it, everyone. Thanks very much.